This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station. And good morning, my friend. It is 6 minutes after 9 o'clock here on this Wednesday, December 1st. Did you change the calendar over this morning, Uncle Ralph?
Yeah. You did? Yeah.
You're ahead of me then.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I've changed my calendar.
I've set up the top of it, though, 2009. Does that mean I got an old calendar?
I think you're a little bit behind the times.
Probably nine was a better year than 10. Yeah.
Welcome to the Wednesday Morning Talk Show here on WSMI AM 1540, brought to you today by the Plummer Funeral Home in Litchfield. I'm Terry Tote, alongside the previously mentioned everybody's favorite uncle, Uncle Ralph Niehaus, and our good friend Roger Crotteville in to join us this morning. We have a lot of stuff to talk about. And first off, how much rain did you get the last couple of 3 days?
Well,
pretty good.
Since it started a week ago, I've had right 6 inches I dumped out of the gauge.
Oh, boy. Wow.
Yeah.
But we needed every bit of that, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. It came pretty nice, and it's filled up the ponds and lakes to a degree, I would imagine. And they were down some, and I'm sure. And most of it came, you know,
gentle-like.
It wasn't, it did rain hard at times, but the ground was in shape. I don't think there was a lot of erosion. There was quite a bit of runoff, obviously, because water's making its way to the pond.
And most of the farmers got everything in that they wanted
to get in the fall.
Well, you know, a lot of farmers had the winter weed in, and it was
it was just hurting.
Needed a drink real bad.
We took a little ride Sunday and went down to Greenville, and I didn't see any corner beans anywhere. So I think even the guys that are habitually late have got their crops out this time.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about bell ringing and fundraising in Mount Olive. But first things first, we got to take care of a little business. We'll be back after this.
Since the opening of Plummer Funeral Home, we have focused on giving the highest level of quality care to every service we provide. We offer the most respectful and dignified funeral services, combined with exceptional value and a deep commitment to the families we serve. At Plummer Funeral Home, we are always here for you, before, during, and after the service, whenever you need a caring friend. Plummer Funeral Home, the locally owned hometown funeral home, your neighbor and your friend.
Back on the Wednesday Morning Talk Show here on AM 1540, and our good friend Roger Crotteville joining us in studio. Roger, how's the family doing? Everybody doing well, I hope?
Well, we're doing okay. Past our visits to the doctors for this, that, and everything else, our granddaughter has pneumonia now. She's only a year and a half, although she's at home right now with our house with my wife. Her mother, Wendy, is a flight nurse here out of Litchfield for the helicopter service. So we brought her into the house, and, of course, Tim was teaching today. But anyway, she seemed to be in good spirits this morning. She was eating and laughing and joking and chasing a cat and all that kind of stuff. So she was doing really well. And everybody's been sort of sick, you know. Everybody's got something. My wife took a flu shot last weekend and got the flu afterwards. I mean, you hear that story all the time, but it really happened to her.
That brings up a good point, Roger. Years ago when they kept saying us older people should have flu shots, so I went and got one. And I got the sickest from flu that I've ever been in my life, and I'm not just trying to discourage anybody from taking flu shots, but for me it didn't work, so I haven't taken one since. But it does happen occasionally. I'm glad to hear someone else say that.
Well, there's mixed emotions on that. I mean, I know people that are scholarly, so to speak, who just say, hey, I'm not going to take those.
No.
Drink extra orange juice
and on the other flip side, it works for me.
Yeah, yeah. Me too. I get mine too every year.
And that's fine. I have no quarrel with that, but there's things that just don't work for everybody. And, you know,
we're all different creatures.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
I guess that's good, isn't it?
They broke the mold after they made you and I, Ralph.
Well,
they probably wanted their money back.
I think they took a sledgehammer to it. I don't think it just dropped it on the floor and broke it. They beat it to death.
But you guys are originals. Remember that.
Yeah. Well, I don't. Yeah. That's not necessarily good, I guess.
You're not copies. You're the originals.
Thank God for that, Roger. Let's talk about some fundraising. That's an annual event in the Mount Olive area, and of course, you're involved with it, and a lot of people are involved in it, and it's ringing bells and bringing attention to helping folks that need a little help.
Well, about 7 or 8 years ago, I took a look at the Mount Olive Food Pantry Care Center, and I just saw the groups of people, large groups, and now it's tremendous. I mean, and people are in front of the store, are waiting for them to open, and I just thought there was a need to try to provide some, particularly money in this case. I mean, we have drives, our scouts do this, our schools, our churches all do this. They have these drives all the time anyway, and it's mostly food. But they do need money, too. There are certain expenses they have to have. And so I decided, to set, like I said, 7 or 8 years ago to have a fundraiser, and we call it celebrity bell ringing. And the celebrity is...
Get your bell wrong, quote, baby.
Yeah, right. Yeah, people avoid me for usually a while when I come up to them. And everybody's not as receptive, so you have to be able to accept the word no. And being a long-time teacher, coach, principal, what have you, I know that word pretty well. But anyway, I ask people who I think will bring people out. And there are actually people who come out to do this. And many of them get into the habit of this. I mean, they have a lot of fun. I think I told you once before that one of my groups, Todd Overby and Dave Smith, Mr. Democrat, Mr. Republican, they're doing it again this year. And a little later I'll mention when they'll be there. But they'll bring their little coffee pot and sometimes their little TV. It's like a camp out, you know, while they're sitting there for their two-hour shift. But they have a lot of fun with doing this, and they look forward to this. And, of course, Ed Becker, the funeral home director in Mount Olive, and Junior Friesner, local realtor here in town, from Mount Olive, but a local realtor here. They come out there with their beards on and their hats and so on. And some people hand out candy canes on their own. And this is all their own expense. They do this. And I just think that's neat. That one person last year brought a bunch of little gifts. Had them wrapped. Must have had 100 of them wrapped in and gave every the kid there a gift. And that's all done on their own and in your goodwill. And, of course, everybody that I ask, I hope people don't take this personally, but I try to ask people who will draw people there. And other than my wife, she's kind of drafty there. She always does this. And then I keep myself as a backup. You know, like, for instance, this year I'm going to have my mystery. Every year I pick up a mystery celebrity. It's usually some person that nobody knows. I even swear to their family to, or him or her, to secrecy so they don't tell their family. And I'll bring them out, and that's going to be this Saturday. There will be the mystery there, mystery guest.
And this all raises money for the food pantry.
Oh, yeah. We, believe it or not, thanks to the graciousness of our people there in town and businesses, we take in anywhere from, in three, now remember, this is roughly 6 hours a Saturday for three Saturdays, two and two hour shifts, and then we do it at the bank, at the sunset, so on. I'll mention that too later. But anyway, we take in anywhere from $3,000 to $3,500. That's unimaginable that you would take up that much money, and a lot of it in nickels and dimes and quarters.
And there's only one way to look at that, Roger. That's $3,000 or $3,500. That you wouldn't have if you didn't do this. So that's just gravy, so to speak,
right?
For the extra things that people need. And certainly now, it's been a long time since I remember as many people in need as there is right now.
Correct.
I agree with that. Any community.
Right.
And you mentioned earlier, Roger, that a lot of this will go, the money goes to pay logistical things like mm-hmm. electricity and maintenance and stuff that you may not associate with a food pantry, but these things have to be taken care of.
Right, and we have a great location in town for the care center. It's right on Main Street, right close to the police station, about three buildings or so down from there. And so it's got a great location for people to find it. And that's not always been easy trying to find a place. This is probably the third place that they've had there. Now, this one's pretty steady now. It's been there a few years. And that a guy I met, the name of Ed McCabe, owns the building, and he has allowed them to, and I don't know what the contract is, whether they're paying rent or they're not. I have no idea. But I do know that that building is available, and they fixed it up for him. And they have, you know, now you have refrigerators and freezers in there. It used to be that it was all strictly canned goods and that. I understand that Bill's IGA out of Litchfield, out of Staunton, brings bread there every week, brings a whole load of bread to them that gives it to them. And so they're getting a lot of things other than, you know, the
traditional canned goods.
Canned goods and stuff, right.
Yeah, so. That's amazing. Well, let's run down the schedule and the places they're going to be and this sort of thing. So, because if we don't, Roger, we're going to run out of time. You know darn well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We don't.
Let's get to the particulars first.
Yeah, I want to make sure that these people, yeah, we might talk baseball or something.
It's been known to happen before. So.
And not only that, I'm very thankful to these businesses who allow us to come in front of them. And it, to a certain degree, it puts those businesses into a frame of a holiday spirit, too. Because the bell ringers, you know, bells ringing, and it's really great for that. And so anyway, we're going to start off this Saturday, December 4th, 7 to 9, start off 7 in the morning. This is at the Sunset Restaurant in Mount Holly, because they have two or three crowds by noon. They'll have a breakfast crowd and a late breakfast and then a lunch crowd coming. So we're going to have Jim Thomas and John Boomer Thomas. They're brothers. And we'll keep peace between those two while they ring their bells, although I'll be putting a bell weapon in each one of their hands. But I think they'll do okay. And 9 to 11 is Ed Becker, who I said before, the mortician, and Junior Friesner. Those guys, and by the way, those groups, most of these people have done it every year. For the 7 years I've done it, they have been very gracious in volunteering and doing it. And they'll be dressed up in their little beards and their hats, and although I'm sure Junior Friesner will find some place to put his Illini hat because he's a diehard Illini fan. And at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., we're going to have Vi Cruzy, who a few years ago was our mystery guest, and she's going to have the mystery guest with her this time. And I hope she makes it, because her husband, Irv, is going to be having surgery Thursday, and we want to wish the best to him, too. So she should be there. And then the following Saturday, December 11th, we're going to be at the Dollar General store, and we're going to start off at 8:30 at the 10:30 with Dave Smith and Todd Overby, and as I said earlier, Mr. Democrat, Mr. Republican. And not only are they that, but they actually argue that way strongly. In fact, I'm going to be there tonight. I mentioned Poli Game. I'm going to be the partner of one of those two tonight. I'm subbing this year as a Poli player, so I'm not sure which one I'm going to be lucky to get. But we'll have to see how it works out. 10:30 to 12:30, we got Gary Filofiaca and Harry Hawkins. Hawkins owns his own steel company there, and Gary Filofiaca is a retired meat cutter. And then at 12:30 to 2:30, we have Todd Stewart and Frank Swam. And by the way, Fiaca and Becker and Friesner are all part of my Fab Four for Fun golf team that plays every year. We're, if you remember, we're all in the area of fair to poor golfers, so we
on a good day,
yeah, we just hope nobody gets hurt. But anyway, at 12:30 to 2:30, we have Todd Stewart and Frank Swam, the Illinois Valley director. From Frank's an old Poli player too, and Todd Stewart's a friend of ours. 2:30 to 4, we got Los Mihalchik and Anna Ecker, and so those are the rounds out the Dollar General day. So that's Saturday, December 11th. On Saturday, December 18th, we're going to be at the National Bank, and between 9 to 11, we're going to have members of the National Honor Society from the high school. This is kind of funny. It's kind of funny this way, because the last couple of years I've had football players. And I must tell you about the quality of what happened with the football teams. They were winning the playoffs, going to playoffs and all that. So I had football players. This year I have National Honor Society members. I have Zach Smith, who is Dave Smith's son. I have Molly Pizzo, and I have several others that are going to fill in with them a little bit later.
And what a great opportunity for the kids to experience something like this and to give back to the community.
I think the other two are going to be Joey Dragovich and I'm not sure if it's Beth Snyder or one of the Snyder girls. But anyway, that's who we're going to have there. And then at 11 a.m. to noon, we're going to have Noreen Striegel and my wife, Mary Crotterville. They've been doing it every year, too. And you know, they're the best of friends, so they'll be talking the whole time, those 2 hours, and it'll go rather fast. And then in the afternoon, from noon to 2, we're going to have a two-hour shift in front of Jumpin' Jimmy's, which is the west side there, Fred and Judy Fallon. A few years ago, I was able to ask two people to do this. They didn't want to do it, so I had them do it, and they scheduled them for west side at the Jumpin' Jimmy's there, and it snowed. And when I came to pick up the money, one of them was covered in the corner behind the soda machines with snow completely covered, and the other one was out trying to bravely ring the bell, and he was covered with snow. And I always remember that story because he has since passed away, the guy. And it was kind of a fond story about him and her, because he was a good friend of mine forever, and that was Pat O'Neill, and I miss him. So, and that's our crew. That's the ones we're going to have for the bell ring here. And they'll have a lot of fun. And they do. It gets cold, unfortunately, and it'll probably be cold this Friday or this Saturday. But I think they basically enjoy it because they're doing some good. You know, the hardest thing to do, and you guys will agree with this, I'm sure, is to ask people to do something for you. I mean, people don't really, they think that's easy. It really isn't easy because a lot of people don't like to take no. You know, I mean, we start with this when we're children. You know, we don't like the word no, so you try to make the offer the best possible way to get a yes, you know. And this is the same way I do up there. But what I'm very fortunate with, most of these people, I mean, almost all of these people, are gracious enough to just to say yes. And not only that, they'll just say, hey, when do you want me? Because that's a logistics thing, too, trying to schedule these people that they're all going to show up and they're going to be there and what have you. And I'm not saying anything that's not new. I mean, this is all people who have fundraisers have to do this. They have to get these people lined up. And that's where the time-consuming thing is. And I'm a strong believer in keeping it in front of the public. I've always been a public relations person. I started, you know, a long time ago when I was when Mount Olive had their centennial back in 65. I was the public relations guy for that because I am able to put stuff out. It takes time, and you have to be able to do that, you know. And in fact, right now I'm in the process of doing a 15 or 20 part history of Mount Olive and columns in the Mount Olive Herald. I haven't started yet, so that'll be interesting. But people have been bugging me that we need to get this on a permanent record because I have a lot of knowledge of that kind of stuff. And this would be my 11th column that I have written for the papers there. My buddy Bob Fulton from Glisby says, I like your writing. I said, Bob, why do you like it? He said, because you write like you talk. He says, you don't write like an author using all those words that maybe I don't understand. He said, when I read your article, it's like I'm talking to you. And he's right. That's exactly where I write my column.
Another good friend of mine, yes.
Yeah.
Buddy Bob.
And you're so right, Roger. That's very important to people when you write or when you speak to someone, you do it in the same vein.
Right.
And and they understand that. They can sit down and read what you have put on a piece of paper and it makes sense to them because if they were talking to you, that's just exactly
right.
What you would say to them.
I'm amazed at how many young people are really interested in this stuff. Like I said, I've written 10 so far. One on love of trains and class reunions. I mean, I've had a whole bunch of them up there, and I think you guys have read one or two of them, the veterans one maybe or whatever.
Yeah.
I did a history of White City. The guy said, how come you did a history of White City? Well, you know, nobody had done this. And Mount Olive, there's been piecemeal written in the Herald over 150 years, but nobody's... you know, when I started off teaching, I got the papers of a guy by the name of Julius Johnson from Mount Olive. He was like a local historian way back in the 20s and 30s, and he actually typed up his notes, and I have them all. And I use pieces of this. And then there's a section of Mount Olive. Mount Olive is like all these other towns. There's sections.
Right.
I mean, it's almost like they were segregated years ago, but they're like there's a Croatian town, a Slovak town, German town, White City, Montenegrins, Serbians, Bohemians, what have you. So anyway, I interviewed a lady who is a treasure in the town of Mount Olive. She's in her 90s, 94 or so years old. Her name is Marie Kochmer. And, I mean, she's sharp, and I spent how many hours at the nursing home in Staunton, Meredith Spanner, a couple of days ago. And I just picked her brain.
Yeah.
And that's the best
way to do it.
Oh, yeah. And she remembers who the first Slovak priest was at the Trinity Church and all this stuff. And so I got firsthand information from her, you know.
And, you know, Roger, this lady is in a group of people that are rapidly disappearing.
Oh.
And when they disappear, that knowledge also disappears because
right.
There's no one comes along who knows that, you know. And when you have these people that are treasure because of their knowledge, and if they are fortunate enough at that age to have their mental capacity still with them, it's amazing what, you know, they remember from 80 years ago.
Well, my mother died at 98. She was sharp. Physically and mentally sharp yet to the day she died, and I was smart enough to videotape her. I interviewed her, but I didn't interview her on the town. I interviewed her on the family, and it's kind of funny. There were editorials in there like who she liked and who she didn't like, and I don't know who I can play that for anybody down in the future because I might be talking about somebody, but point is that it was just like me. We're talking now. That's how I interviewed her. Did it on video. And there are other people I wish I'd have done it. I interviewed a guy by the name of Fred Winchell for the 65 class reunion. I mean, for the 65 anniversary of 1965, 100-year anniversary. And he was so sharp. He remembered who had the first telephone in town, who had the first this. Remember the boarded sidewalks and all. And he was detailed. And I interviewed him and listened to him for 2 hours and walked out of here and let it just go away, you know. And I thought, gosh, what a terrible thing. Why didn't I tape him?
Yeah.
You know, and my father-in-law, Norman Schiller, was the guy who took me there. We're good friends of his. And, I mean, the guy knew everything. And there are still people out there. And while I have the knowledge, I'd like to get it in print so somebody can look back. Now, I taught monolith history for many years, for 2 weeks in monolith, every day in history for 2 weeks. I figured, I can't, no, why teach them about Europe and everybody's out? They don't even know where they're at, where they're from.
That's right.
And so I taught that for a bunch of years. So I got smart. 1 year there, too, I videotaped myself teaching it. I set up a camera in the classroom, and this is towards the end of my teaching career. I did that. I've never looked at it. I mean, never. I've never looked at it one time. Never had any need to. But I hope it's still, you know, usable.
But one day, a history class may decide to use it.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I've suggested that to the school system for a lot of years, and it's not been taken up. I haven't done it every year, but I've suggested, superintendent, you got these staff development days. You get five a year that they all use them. A third of the time, the principal is trying to figure out, what am I going to do with these teachers? What am I going to do? Set them up. One day I told them I'd come there. I'd take your social studies teachers from K to 12. And I would train them on monolith history. I got notes. I got stuff printed. I got pictures. You just have to do it. Well, you know, it's a lot of times if you're not from here. See, my son's doing this right now in Taylorville. He's interested in finding the history of the Taylorville, the town of Taylorville. He's doing, and he told me if he would ever come down this area and be a principal, he would want me to do that for that school district or that town. I think that's great, because how do you know where you're going if you don't know where you come from?
You know, there's a lot of things that seem trivia, but you just mentioned your son at Taylorville. And years ago, you know, back in the early 1900s, there was a trail went from Hillsborough to Taylorville, which was the main freight line from there. It was called the old Taylorville Trail, and there's still parts of that trail went right through up where we live. And, you know, that's interesting stuff.
Oh, yeah, right. Because people who are from small towns, particularly young people from small towns, don't think there's anything ever been here.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and I told you this before, what I did when I talked, when I spoke to the Litchfield senior class a few years ago at their banquet. I gave no speech on motivation, on, you know, where you're going and what you should do. I gave them a history of somebody from Mount Olive, or White City at that time, viewing Litchfield.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was a metropolis in this area. They don't realize how lucky they have been, because it's a growing community. It's got good schools, blah, blah, blah. And they don't know how fortunate. All they want to do is get out of here and go to bigger and better places. Well, it isn't always true that there are bigger and better places.
No.
It's kind of like you can't see the forest because of the trees.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah.
And, and they liked it. And I'm not so sure the students maybe liked it as much as the parents. But the parents came to me afterwards. In fact, I sat and had lunch with a bunch of them afterwards. And they just thought that was excellent that I used the town as a speech for where what they're going to leave from rather than where they're going.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can figure that out themselves.
Roger, you're welcome to come back and share some of this history with us if you want to, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime.
We'll love it. I love that. And there's so many interesting stories. I'm telling you. I was listening to your trivia question you had on WSMI the other day. In fact, a guy from Monolith, Marty Niehaus, won it. You know, where did Benel, how they get their name?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Benel Dorsey. Well, Benel I knew Dorsey, that. Yeah. I was on a road going to Taylorville or someplace at the time and didn't call, but Marty Niehaus, and he was one of my students, so I hope he learned.
And my question has always been, you know, that's been the accepted story. Is that really how it happened?
Mm-hmm.
As far as I'm concerned, it is.
Right.
You know, until you can prove different. That's a great story.
When the Bertetti boys, the old type people in Bunnell, when they were in their 90s, and I told them, they honored them, the brothers, because one stayed home to take care of his parents, and one went on to bigger and greater, they became rather famous in his field. But and the one that was famous in his field paid for the library in order to honor his brother who stayed home. I thought that was neat.
Yeah.
Stay home, took care of his family. I told him there. I said, get somebody over here sometime and pick these guys' brains, because I was just listening to them for 15 minutes there, you know, because they had a huge crowd there. And they were talking about the stills and the history. And, now there's somebody trying to figure out in Carlinville the Capone connection to Carlinville. I saw that in somebody's been sending letters to the editor trying to get some trivia on that. And,
guys, we're out of time. Roger, thank you so much.
You're very much.
Come back and visit us. We'll set up a time, and we'll get you in here a couple times at least next year. And, and we'll share some history of Mount Olive and this whole area. And thank you so much for coming in, and good luck on your fundraising this week.
Thank you. Enjoy it, and I'm sure the people will come through for the people.
That's it for this program brought to you by Plummer Funeral Home. Stick around. The man, the myth, the legend, Earl Sarles on his way next.